What's going on, y'all? Good evening. I think I can say this for all of us here that, like everyone here who will be speaking to everyone here tonight, that we are honored to have the opportunity to speak to everyone here and on the topic at hand, onto maturity. You know, each of us will have 4 points that we will dish out to you tonight.
Come on, bro.
And within these 4 points, we will unpack these things that we believe are helping us go on to maturity. So why this is working towards maturity and why it's important for our maturity overall. So God has given us access to all of the fruit of the Spirit, amen? But it's through maturity and intentional growth that we get to experience more and more of the fruit in our lives. Certain wines and cheeses grow naturally with age, and with that, the better the taste and the richer the experience of these things. Right? Some of us may know.
Give myself some cheese.
Right. However, our spiritual maturity does not work like that.
All right, bro.
We have to be intentional with our spiritual maturity because although we may grow older, we may not experience change. So with that being said, I have the privilege of kicking us off tonight. And the point that I have, I want to give us all here is this. Believing in God and dependence on God will propel our relationship with God.
All right, bro.
So without further delay, let's turn over and swipe over to Genesis 15.
Come on, bro.
So we're going to go all the way back.
back
to the first book of the Bible.
Take us back.
Let's do it. But for a reason. And the reason I want us to turn over to the scriptures is because I think the person that we'll be looking at demonstrates something that we all can probably relate to. And not just relate to, but by looking at his life, it will help us go on to maturity. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, bro.
Now, before we start reading the scripture, I want to give us just a quick synopsis of what's going on here before this chapter, because it's really important to know the context when reading the Bible.
Yeah, bro.
So, before Genesis, we are introduced to a well-known individual that most of us may know, and that individual's name is Abram, right? Or some people might call him Abram.
Okay.
Which then later in scripture got changed to Abraham. So before Genesis 15, God called Abraham to a relationship, a partnership, you know, if you will. And so basically our man Abraham left his home and hometown. And if he decided to do that, which he did, you know, God said that Abraham would become the man who would have descendants as numerous as the stars. And many nations would be blessed because of him. And they were. Amen. That's an awesome promise. And Abraham took it. And as some of us may know, he ran with that thing and went on to do incredible things like rescue his nephew Lot from a king who was holding his nephew and a whole city captive. He defeated a king, and he defeated said king with 318 trained men from his household. And he traveled great distances and represented God and gave him glory by denying the aid of a king that had a deceitful scheme attached to that aid. You know, all this happened because of God's sovereignty and the power of God. And Abram was a direct witness to see the works of God at play. Abraham believed God. But if we keep reading a little further, we see that he began to wrestle a little bit with God. And the promise that God had given him soon after all these incredible things occurred, This is where we're going to see. So let's pick up here in Genesis 15, 1 to 10.
Come on, Derek.
Okay. So Genesis 15, 1 to 10. We're going to pick up here. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.
Right.
He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord. He credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I would gain possession of it?
Right.
So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut. And if we were to read further on, you know, we will see like a covenant being made between Abram and God, right?
Right.
So, you know, Abraham was an amazing man of God. He believed in God, and as the scripture said, he believed God. But one thing that I can relate to him, and I'm pretty sure the majority of us in this room can, is that Abraham did in fact have his doubts.
Right.
He struggled despite all of the great things that he's done prior to this. What reassured him though? What got him back on track? Right? What did he depend on to give him encouragement and to keep going? Well, according to the scripture, Abraham did not just believe by having some sort of like head knowledge of God himself and how he exists, but he understood that one, God exists and he is mighty. And secondly, he understood the weight and the power of God's words themselves. Although Abraham had been demonstrating his faith through his actions, it was his belief in God and in the words of God that got him right with God.
Okay.
Believing in God and dependence on God will propel your relationship with God. So my question to us all here is this. Do you personally believe God and his word? I know the majority of us in here, you know, we believe in the one true God, right? Like we believe in Jesus.
Right.
And that God truly exists. But do you believe his words and do you depend on him?
Okay.
Do you believe in the power and the weight that his words carry? Okay. Do you understand it? Because this is crucial if you want to be on our way to maturity. And I even realized this about myself not too long ago. You know, like for me personally, I'm, you know, like going through my Bible. This happened not too long ago, probably like the end of last year or something. But, you know, I found myself reading my Bible. In the middle of reading my Bible, everything I was reading became more so information than me actually accepting and understanding who God is and what he's saying about my life and about the lives around me and everyone else, right? So, you know, early on in my faith and even now, you know, I thought that faith was an accumulation of knowledge.
Right.
But it's not solely accumulating of facts and evidence and knowledge, but it's about accepting and trusting the words that were being spoken about by God himself.
Come on, bro.
It's not that it's easy, but when you do sit and consider the facts and make the choice to obey, what happens next? Mm. Well, what happens next is that you receive a spring of life and a march towards growth and maturity.
That's right.
One thing that I believe that will help us be like on our way to maturity is this. Believe in God and believing God. Because if we do, it only results in the building up of our relationship with God and other people around us, no matter where they're from, no matter what their background is. Wrestling with God is definitely uncomfortable. However, it is not a sign of weakness or something we should be shocked by. Instead, it is a necessity. It's necessary. Part of our walk with God. Pressure makes diamonds, and concentrated friction smooths out the edges.
Come on, bro. Okay.
It's all about how we internalize the facts, and which then will lead to producing a fruit that stems from the Holy Spirit, and then ultimately maturity. Having questions about what God says and the promises he makes to us may happen, and it will happen. But if you endure and gain reassurance from his word and bathe yourself in his word and accept it, this will help you build a stronger character, stronger relationships with those around you, and most importantly, a stronger relationship with God.
Amen.
Believing in God and dependence on God will propel your relationship with God. Amen.
Amen.
And to God be the glory. And now I'll be passing it over to Rachel.
Amen. Good job, dude. Come on, Rach.
Come on, Rach. Yeah. And Jordan was like, never mind. I'm just saying. In the back of her, I was really saying that I wasn't going to take my mask off, but I realized it's like, maybe it's too sensitive to jump around. So I'm just going to talk about how God's been really maturing, calling me to mature in my faith and how I think, and that it's okay to wrestle with my thoughts and really bring that to God, and how God's the one that brings me peace and hope. So a lot of times, my lack of faith can come from being fearful of the future and just dwelling on what makes me anxious. And honestly, the way I handle it is to passively like set it aside, and I just become passive about my anxiety, and I dust under the rug and I pretend it's not there. I don't acknowledge it. I don't deal with it. But when that happens over time, dust will pile up, dust bunnies everywhere. You know, it becomes a bigger mess of clean.
That's right.
So a lot of these fears come from just my intrusive thoughts, from the way I was raised, the way I was taught to think, or I just be really hard on myself and criticize myself a lot. And that this would bleed into just even my relationship now with Manuel, or growth and change of what my future holds, and the next steps moving forward in my life. And so what helps me is 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In the last sentence of the Message version, it says, our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives and obedience into maturity. And so with this, just I can see how even the scriptures call me and call us to do that, to really take like captive of our thoughts that that aren't true and that are lies, whether that's fears or insecurities, and to make it obedient to Christ. And amen for the tools, that our tools are ready at hand, which is the Bible, which is God, and amen if you made Jesus Lord, then the Spirit inside of us. But some practicals that really help me out through moments like this, because, again, I don't like dealing with it. I want to avoid it. But what practicals really help me out is acknowledging what I feel and bringing that before God, having that conversation with God, including him in my thoughts, to have an open heart and to actually wrestle with my emotions.
Right.
I just love how in the scriptures that Derek shared about Abraham, we can see him having that conversation with God. And what helps is literally bringing ourselves to God and having that conversation. Yeah. So I like to acknowledge what I feel and ask myself, is this thought true? It's true that I feel this way, but is this the absolute truth? Is this truth, God's truth, how he thinks? And I love to like write my thoughts like on a piece of paper, journaling my thought or my fear on the left side. And then on the right side, I like to look at, well, what does God say about this? And what are his thoughts? And I use scriptures to help me combat those thoughts. And then I like to ask myself, well, what happens when you believe this thought, right? What happens when I do believe this fear and this insecurity? And I think that really honestly helps me really like deepen just my honesty with God and really pour it out. Because often like we'll look for the answer, right? But then we're like, okay, but we gotta do what's right. And again, that's shoving it under the rug. So we gotta be real, keep it real, and really deal with it. And then I like to ask myself, well, who would you be without this thought? And including God's thoughts. And who would you be with Jesus' influence in the situation? How would he think of the situation with the scriptures? And a verse that really convicted me to actually do this, to like actually repent of like the way I'm thinking and actually bring my thoughts to God, was Psalms 10:4. It says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I am literally like running 100 miles per hour in my thoughts, but I'm not including God. And I'm like, well, no, it's okay. And then again, under the rug. And then it's piling up, and it's like, well, I'm going to have to deal with it and face it. But these practicals just really help me out to deal with the thought right now in the moment, as well as the ones I subconsciously let grow into big dust bunnies. So I think of just right now, with this situation, I can have a choice to be fearful or faithful.
Come on.
That the choice is now, that I get to decide, like, I could break this chain of thought. And so I love this quote that Albert Einstein shared, in the midst of difficulty, life's opportunity. And I've just been really learning and fighting to just accept that I'm weak, accept that I can't do it on my own, and that I am not capable, but with my own strength, but that God helps me and gives me that strength. Because when I do it on my own, I get drained, I shut down. So what helps me with that, I love 2 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read the Amplified version from 9 to 10. It reads, "But he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation, for my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weaknesses. Therefore, I will more gladly boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me, sorry. So I'm well pleased with weaknesses and insults, with distress, with persecutions, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength."
Amen.
And I love that version because it kind of just clears up the confusion of, oh, then I'm weak, then I'm strong. But I like that too, because I think it's like really accepting, like, wow, I am weak, but when I'm weak, then I am strong because I'm relying on God's strength. And honestly, when I ask myself, like, well, what's the core of, like, all these things that I can struggle with, and the difficulty of my insecurity or frustration and fear, I just want someone telling me what to do. I'm like, I don't want to make decisions, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. And I can often not trust myself, and, like, I'm fear of being a failure. Like, it comes down to that. The root is, like, I'm going to mess up. But ultimately, God really wants us to be humble and give that to him, include him with your thoughts, whatever that is for yourself. What's the root fear or thought that really that Satan attacks you with this lie? I'm going to read 1 Peter 5:6-7. It says, "Therefore humble yourselves under your mighty hand of God. Set aside selfish pride, so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully." And so I just love that, and I love these scriptures. These are like my go-to, because it helps remind me, like, God does care.
Right.
I'll be honest, I get triggered sometimes when I keep hearing, like, the same scriptures, and it's like, cast your fears or cast your anxiety on God. I'm just like, wow, like that, it gives me anxiety. But, he cares about me, and if I think more about that part, I'm like, wow, like, he really does care, and he wants to know my mess, he wants to hear the good, bad, and ugly, he wants to know the truth, and he does know the truth, but, like, he wants to help me in these times, with my thoughts. And so, that's what I've been really working on, and seeing how this is a time to really mature just in my thoughts, especially with, you know, we've all survived COVID and we're currently doing that. So, amen. Like, we can think of how to be hopeful and really get that peace from God, because that's ultimately what we really desire too, is just peace and to be understood, to feel that connection with him. And so thank you for letting me share. Just want to encourage you guys to go to God and share your thoughts and feelings with him. He's going to bring you that peace and hope as well. Now Julia is going to share.
Julia!
So for me, something that I think God has made clear recently and wanting to challenge and grow in is my prayer life. You know, with the start of the semester, or even whenever it gets busy, because life always gets busy, my tendency could be quickly to switch gears, to make it all about Julia, to go on the Julia way, essentially. And in this mode, I'm highly organized, task-oriented, and determined to be successful and get everything done, essentially, right? And not that there's anything wrong with that, right? You know, if anything, there are scriptures that call us to be diligent. But for me, I think, personally, what I've struggled through every semester is the difference between, and the fine line between, okay, I'm doing this for God, the motivation behind it, or am I doing it all by myself? You know, am I relying on God's strength and letting who he is and what he wants from me to motivate me to do these things? Or am I letting my fear and anxiety overwhelm me, leading me to take control of everything, right? And this is something that, you know, being a senior, this is something I kind of go through every semester, and it's something to really challenge myself with, you know? So it's something that doesn't require, like it's just a whole process of maturity, right? A quote from a book that I'm reading says, "But work for God that is not nourished by a deep interior life with God will eventually be contaminated by other things such as ego, power, needing approval of and from others, and buying into the wrong ideas of success and the mistaken belief that we can't fail."
Nice, yeah.
And this really, like, every time I read this, it just cuts me. I think it exposes a lot of things, not just work for God, right? And anything that I do, whether it's academics, personal things, or ministry things, this is something that I have to watch for. Where am I nourishing myself with?
Right.
You know, is my, and for me, recently, it has been my prayer life. You know, and my prayer life is one of the main things that, like, I need to radically change and go after to have that deep interior life. You know, to be nourished by that deep interior life with God. And to go after it doesn't simply mean to just pray more, right? Because anybody can do that. But I think for me, it's just been such a challenge and process of being able to understand and act on it, if that makes sense. Like, reading it in my Bible, but also applying it in those times with God. That to be nourished by a deep life with God, I need to nourish myself in prayer. And through going after prayer and learning more about what God wants for me, I think the Bible is definitely the place where we go to.
That's right.
There's scriptures that talk about prayer, but then there's also things where we can read in other people's journey with prayer.
Right.
We read about David in the Old Testament, how he always went to God. But I think ultimately, right, the best example is Jesus. As people who strive to be Christ-like, we see Jesus in the Gospels go after prayer. Mm-hmm. His life was filled with prayer. In Luke 5, verse 16, he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And even in Luke 6, he went to getaways. He got away from everybody into the mountains and prayed. And he was intentional with that. And I think, just really, really able to read through how reliant Jesus was to God, not only in the rough times, but in the victories too, you know? Because I think that's something that I can feel like, oh, okay, I want to go to God when things are rough, right? And not even just presenting like all of these things, like when it's rough or when I want something, right? And I think through really just going after these prayer times and advice and hearing from people what's worked from them, I think I've really been able to see that when we pray, it's our hope to God for God to move in us, right? I think that's something that I've had to work through, that it's not, prayer doesn't change who God is. Prayer changes who we are. Prayer changes how we're going about what we're praying for, our desires and petitions towards God. And God wants to hear these desires, and he wants us to wrestle with him, like Rachel was saying, right, with our feelings. And I think it's, prayer is our intentionality and willingness for God to move in us. It's our way of bringing our requests to God, which I'll read in the scripture. And I think through this intentionality to God in prayer, is where I've been able to grow in a lot of the things that I've been praying for, like crazy enough. And in those things, it could be, like recently, it's been about strength, dependence, faith, and hope recently. And just really having hope in these times. And through praying, I find myself growing in these moments through wrestling with it mid prayer. And ultimately learning for myself that when I come in times of praying to God, like, I'm coming in to not make it about who I am. I'm making it about who God is, ultimately. Right? And a scripture that has helped me, I think, in times where I quickly want to just get control and let my fear take in and kind of put me in that Julia mode again, is in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. And I think everyone might have heard it here and there, but it says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known to God. And this is my favorite part right here, because it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, all of Julia's understanding, stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other translations, it says, guarding my heart back to Christ Jesus, back to his truth. And it's not through answered prayers that give us growth, that give us the maturity, that give us that strength back to God. It's the wrestling. It's getting in the dirts, you know, like getting it dirty. And the consistency with talking to God and really transforming how I view praying. It's an internal struggle that brings me closer to God. So hopefully that has helped and connected with you guys.
What's up, guys? I'm excited to speak on this topic, on to maturity. And for me, when I think of maturity, I can't help but think of wisdom. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. But you guys should turn to Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to be reading a lot of Proverbs from my my little section. But wisdom, if you look at the definition, it says having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Sounds good to me. I want more wisdom. And that's been a goal of mine this year, is to have more wisdom. But in Proverbs chapter 1, it starts, and the name of the section is purpose and theme. So we're about to read the purpose and theme of the entire book of Proverbs. So let's read this. Starting in verse 2. The purpose is for gaining wisdom. Wow, that's great. That's what I need. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction and prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We'll stop there. But the purpose of Proverbs is for gaining wisdom, right? And wisdom is how we become more mature, right? And we're talking about onto maturity here.
Right.
And what does verse 5 say about the wise? Right? It says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Well, that's like, how do you add to your learning? How do you gain knowledge? It's a great question. And then answer to this, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
All right,
so we've got to fear the Lord.
Okay.
And part of fearing the Lord is reading his word, but also obeying it, right? If this is God who you fear, you're going to obey his word, right? So let's keep looking at his word. Let's keep looking through the Proverbs. But in Proverbs 12, if you guys want to turn there,
come on, bro.
This scripture has one of my favorite words of all time in it. I want you guys to guess what it is after I read it. Okay, my second favorite word. But no, Proverbs 12, starting in verse 1, I want you guys to guess what my favorite word is in this. But it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Alright, what's my favorite word? No, it's discipline. You guys are crazy. It's discipline. But honestly, though, who wants to be known as stupid? Nobody, right? Hopefully not. You don't want to be known as stupid. But do you guys love discipline? Do you love discipline? What does it even look like for someone to love discipline, right? This is something I've had to ask myself this year and, you know, many times throughout my discipleship. But loving discipline is practicing discipline, right? You got to go out and practice it. Discipline with your schedule, right? Why are you going to sleep at 3 a.m. waking up at noon? What's the reason? I know you're working on the paper, but you got Netflix on in the background, you know what I mean? Why am I spending so much time on Netflix, YouTube, social media? Maybe it's you got to look at discipline with your convictions, right? What boundaries have I set up for myself already? Why did I set these up? What convictions are they coming from? And do I stick to these convictions? Or are they just loose ideas I have in my mind? But this is all part of maturing, onto maturity. And part of loving discipline is being held accountable, right? And that involves other people. You gotta tell other people what you're trying to be disciplined in. So let's skip down to verse 15 of chapter 12. So Proverbs 12, verse 15. And this kind of talks about that. But it says, the way of the fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Wow. The way of fools seems right to them. Whenever I hear that, I can't help but think about my little sister. I know many of you guys know who she is probably, but don't tell her I'm talking about her. But when she was about three or four, the kids were home alone, right? Well, we weren't home alone, but we were with my uncle, so we were practically home alone. Me and her were home alone, right? Or with my uncle. And she, my little sister, she decides she's hungry. So she goes into the fridge, right? And she pulls out this muffin she really wants. And she puts it in the microwave. All sounds fine, right? Until you find out how much time she put in the microwave. She put 10 minutes to warm up this tiny muffin. And it ended up catching on fire. So it became this huge thing, right? And it seemed right to her, right? Like, I just press these buttons and it warms up the muffin. She didn't know what she was doing. And, you know, if we're inexperienced with anything, we don't know for sure if we're right, right? Yeah. We're just guessing at that point. We either learn the hard way, right? It catches on fire. Or we listen to advice, right? This is what it says. Or we listen to advice. But we can't listen to advice if we're not getting advice.
Right.
Right? And, you know, this right here, this is what I've been working on the past year and a half. I've been private, right? Oh, I heard somebody. Wow, Julia. Some people know I've been private. But, but getting advice and listening to advice, it takes humility, which is something I didn't have. But we have to acknowledge the fact that we don't know what we're doing. And that's a big part of wisdom and maturity, right? But in the year of 2021, I entered many new stages of my life. I got into a relationship, an amazing relationship with Julia, right? I started interning for the church. I started a new full-time job, too. So I'm doing, you know, two jobs, right? And then I had a dream to go abroad and help serve a church on the other side of the world. All new things, right? These are all things that I'm like, okay, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm acting like I do, right? But, and this was all before, you know, I was really, sorry. And this is kind of before I was used to getting advice, you know, on the regular.
Right.
Because I was used to my life, right? It was just all normal to me. There was nothing really popping up that I needed to get advice about. But I knew right when I started trying to pursue Julia that I needed some advice, right? But because of my pride and other things, it took, you know, it took a lot of fire starting. It took some mistakes before I was able to humble myself and be like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing at all. And I really had no idea what I was doing. But I've learned since then that, you know, getting advice is so helpful in every aspect of my life. And, you know, from financial to relationship to career, it just helped me so much because I'm talking to people who have gone through it, right? Who have started their own fires so that I don't have to start my own, right? People who have made their own mistakes and have had success, right? And I've gotten to learn about this and see other perspectives. And I wanted to end out with a scripture in Proverbs 13 that really encapsulates this. But Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Amen. I learned to walk with the wise. But I have a question for you guys. Who are you walking with?
That's right.
Are you even walking with anyone right now? I wasn't back then. I wasn't really walking with anyone. And if you think you're walking with someone, are you really walking with them? Are you just watching them walk from afar? Are you just like, oh, I see you're doing well over there, right? Do you let people really get involved in your life? Are you involved in theirs? Are you doing what they do? All right, so as we end out tonight's lesson on to maturity, as we reflect on what we all spoke about, what Derek said about believing in God's word, what Rachel said about being faithful and boasting in your weaknesses, what Julia said about maturing in prayer, and what I've been saying about wisdom and advice, if anything stood out to you tonight, I encourage you to think about someone who's doing well in this area, who you think is mature in this area, and I want you to walk with them, right? I want you to walk with them so that you can become wise. I really believe that everyone in this room right now can become wise, can become mentors, advisors, be examples to people who are younger, people who are inexperienced, people starting those fires, right? So let's really go on to maturity. Amen. Thanks for letting us share.